This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. InnovatedCompanies.com is where you can learn more about the wonderful construction company owned by Randy Green, his wonderful daughter, Stephanie Green, all the great work they do over there. Whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. They've got your back. 35 years experience. He's a second-generation craftsman and, more importantly, a man of his word. Tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it, folks. Get him involved early in the process and save yourself time, money, and energy. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. Well, welcome to the patio studios, as today we're going to talk a little bit about the Cardinals, and it's probably going to be a broken record, to be completely honest with you. Steve-O and I went to the day game yesterday and got to see a little up close and personal what we've been seeing on TV a little bit. So let me welcome in my cohort in crime. We got a little sun on our face today.
The sun came out and made an appearance.
Yes, the parting ball in the sky was out. We had a cold beer.
It was its opening day for the sun. Yes. So it was warm out. The bats remained cold.
Yeah.
And, boy, around the league, we got a little heat under the collar and some other areas. I actually want to get into that with BMO and his thoughts on it.
Yeah, I do,
but
too.
I know you want to talk about Carpenter taking pitches.
Well, I mean, I just saw firsthand yesterday. I mean, I'm confused by what I saw yesterday, and I'm going to ask Benji his thoughts as well. And I've got a theory. You know I got a theory.
You know what it reminded me a lot was those when we were down in Aviston with 8 years old with the kids at the pitching machine. That pitching machine kept throwing those sliders.
Yeah.
And those kids just looked clueless on them. We saw a lot of that yesterday.
Well, I listen. The best hitters in the game struggle with a slider. I mean, it's designed to give you trouble. My problem is taking fastballs. And I said it to you. I've been talking to you about this for I don't know how long. And you know I got a theory. But before I give you my theory, let's welcome in the man who's the only one with a real theory. Let's face it. He's the only one that's seen a slider and a 95-mile-an-hour fastball all within 20 seconds of one another. And that's the great Benji Molina on the M4byYachty.com hotline. What's going on, pal?
Oh, nothing much, man. Very beautiful here, man, in the 80s today. Very nice, man. It's very nice. So I'm excited to talk about those things that you guys mentioned, man. Let's do this.
Well, we got 70 weather here, bud. So, you know, you're not so much better than us. I'm just letting you know. Just letting you know. All right? Just letting you know. Well, hey, listen. Let's first and foremost talk a little bit about yesterday's game just for a minute. Steve-O and I went, and I know you're jealous because you're back home in Arizona, you know, missing your St. Louis folk, which I know you do. So I know you're just – so Steve-O and I go to the game yesterday. Beautiful outside, man. I got shorts on. I got a long-sleeve pullover on, and I actually got hot. You know, we had some cold beers, dogs, you know, a lot of friends at the game.
$23 nachos.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing, right? Steve-O didn't go with Philly cheesesteak, went with nachos, so it's an amazing day, right? We get out there, and I look at Steve, and the first thing I say is, man, look at that nice wind blowing out. The bats are going to come alive today. They're going to come alive today. And I got to tell you, We got carved up by a guy that I don't think is all that special. I mean, he's a good pitcher. Any pitcher in the major leagues, I guess, is good. Obviously, yes. But man, we got carved up, and it's not that we got carved up. I don't understand what's going on. And when I say this, I'm gonna have our own Mo's algorithm's probably gonna want to kill me. But I'm going to tell you, my theory is this. We're taking way too many hittable pitches. Am I wrong in thinking that there's guys back there going, you need to walk more, you need to walk more? I don't understand why we take so many fastballs. And again, it sounds like I'm on the Matt Carpenter bitch list lately, but how many fastballs is this guy going to take and complain about on the corner and swing at balls that aren't near the strike zone? Well, I don't understand it.
I would think, and like I said, it's maybe an elementary way of looking at things, but I always look fastball, right? Anticipate fastball and want to hit the fast. Isn't that one of the easier pitches to hit? Look for the fastball, hit the fastball, adjust to everything else. BMO. What are these guys, what is their thought process up there? I know they watch a lot of video and try to find trends, but you can't take, which I know they didn't like me when I used to say this coaching the eight-year-olds, you can't take cock shots and then swing at balls in the dirt.
There's two things that Jimbo mentioned there, like they got nothing to do with the hitting part, right? Not because it's hotter, we're supposed to hit. That doesn't go there. It makes it comfortable a little bit better to hit, but doesn't mean we're going to get hit. And another one is, I don't think these guys go out there thinking a walk, only one guy, right? I don't think the coaches are saying that. I don't believe it one bit that the coaches are saying, oh, we need more walks. That's bull crap.
I didn't say
only
coaches. I didn't say coaches.
No. I'm saying anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, you know, coach or whoever. I don't think anybody is guiding these guys to say more walks. Only one guy wants more walks for whatever reason that is. But I don't think it has to do with the weather or anything. I'm actually just like you guys trying to figure out what their plan is. I like what Steve-O just said. You gear up for the fastball, you let it fly. You gear up for the fastball, you let it fly. The games that I saw with the D-backs, they were pitched really good. They were pitched really good. Not every single time, of course. Not every at-bat, not every pitch. They could have hit more. But I'm just saying they were good pitchers, and you know, they did good in battling with him. But I'm in between, too, like you guys are. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think their plan or the I don't think they're ahead of the hitter, out of the pitcher. I'm sorry. I don't think they are ahead. I think they're waiting so much for that middle pitch that they get caught up in the corners and they don't swing at him like you guys just mentioned. It's hard to watch, man, because these kids can hit. And I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will hit. And like I always say, they will hit, man. These guys, they can hit. They can hit. The bottom line is these kids can hit. But they're not hitting, and that's why it makes it so hard, because we were expecting more out of them, or maybe we were expecting more hits, more better at-bats from them, and that's what makes it harder for us that are watching. But I'm with you too, Jimbo, when you said we're taking way too many fastballs in counts that we should hit, right? That's just unacceptable, and if I were there as a coach, hitting coach, that would not be happening. I don't know. I will go up to the plate and hold a bat and swing for him if I have to. But that's what's happening right now. But it got nothing to do with the weather. You know, obviously, it makes it nicer. But I don't think either that the coaches or themselves are thinking more walks. I don't think that's happening.
Well, I don't know. I can't.
They're having a tough time, no doubt. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm not covering them for them. They're having a really tough time hitting. It doesn't mean they're not good hitters. They will wake up. They will. And they need to do it sooner than later.
Yeah, and the reality of it is, you know, the numbers for the guys, especially with track records, tell us that, you know, you're going to get better baseball out of them at some juncture, especially offensively anyway. I don't know. Like I said, I'm just confused. That's all. No big deal. And then, so Steve-O and I get in an argument, Benji, at the game because our number three hitter, and again, this sounds like I'm on a Matt Carpenter bitch session, which maybe I am. I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. But he's our number three hitter, and I don't give a – to be completely honest with you, I truly don't give a shit what number you are, okay? But – it's a 3-1 count, and this guy's trying to push a bunt down the third baseline on a 3-1 count.
No.
Now, listen.
Remember last show we said those things.
So here's
what 3-1 counts, the 2-0 counts. It's your power, right? You should go and do damage. You're not. I mean, that's what I'm saying. And we said it too in the last show. I mean, it's like, dude, the when you get a good count, go after it, man. Go do some damage. Don't wait for that. Okay, it's not my pitch. I don't want to hit that. Who cares if it's a little low? Your bat is going to hit it because you're a low ball hitter. Oh, yes, a little low. I'll take the walk. I don't know, man. I wouldn't do that.
I just don't know.
I'd rather get the RBI in.
If we're in a day and age where we have all this data, right? And that's where we're at, right? We have all this data, right? Well, I promise you one of the most I mean, anybody can go find what your batting average is, like the major league averages on 3-1, 2-0 versus 2-2, 1-2, 0-2.
And we know it.
I mean,
we know it.
And let me tell you something. That's not a small sample size. That's the biggest sample size. That's everybody.
That's 150 or 350.
So I don't understand. And again, I know you're dying to say something.
No, I know. I mean, it just amazes me in this time. I mean, I don't see anybody changing swings from 2-0, 3-1 to 0-2. That's been the biggest change, I think, in the hitting philosophy is not your launch angle. These guys have changed in the last 20 years to say, I'm not changing my approach due to the count. I'm not changing my approach when there's
swinging, a swinging,
Steve. I know, but there's a man. That part of baseball's gone when – and that's why we celebrate it so much. When there's one out, a man on third, that these guys are no longer trying to hit the sacrifice fly. If there's a guy on second, they're no longer hitting the ground ball behind them. They don't change their batting philosophy based off of these stats. So it amazes me that a 3-1 count, that it would be any different than an 0-2 or a 1-2 count. I know it should be.
And even to your point, to make it even more to your point, Steve-O, the teams that we play, do they take a 3-1 fastball? Have they taken a – Myers gave up a 3-1 home run.
Right.
He has to come right there. Everybody that we go in there, they have to nibble with the fastball, nibble with the slider because they're hacking.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm going to give you another example so you guys might puke, but listen – I'm going to tell you this one. We don't swing a 3-1 fastball sometimes. We don't swing at 2-0s. I mean, we have guys that takes it, you know, whatever. But then we have an eighth batter swinging at a first pitch with a pitcher behind you. And now you tell me what is smart about that part. You swing at a first pitch. One pitch, one out. And who's coming after you? Waka. The Waka is 90% out, right? I mean, a pitcher doesn't swing the bat well.
Right.
He's 90% out. Man, and then you're going to tell me you're going to swing at a first pitch then, but then when a 3-1 or a 2-0 count comes to you and the fastball is right down the middle, you're going to take? Come on, man. That makes you even worse. I mean, this is not one guy. There's a few guys out there.
You're exactly right. And I just don't see the adjustments at all. And to your point, Jim, I didn't mind Carpenter bunting on 3-1. He has got to get that third baseman and that shortstop back into position because he's hit four piss rockets right at the short right fielder and been thrown out every time. His 3-1 swing, he's hitting right into the shift.
I'm looking for a ball to leave the park, Steve.
I agree with you. But for Christ's sakes, it's better to – I know it's a bad idea.
I'm saying the bunt is not a bad idea. It's when you do it. It's the bad idea.
Correct.
I mean, what I'm saying? It was a good day to hit.
Yeah.
Right. It was a good day to hit.
If anyone counts, yeah. You're going to get a fastball, basically. Hey, you don't want to bunt.
You know who I'm going to put on this case here, okay? We're going to go to – it's time now. I want to invite in our friend because, you know, he's a numbers guy.
Right.
So I know he and I may disagree here on this one. I'm going to ask him – and I'm going to surprise him with this today. So he may need to come back next week after doing some research, but I'm going to hit him with it. But for now, let's go ahead and bring him in. It's time for Mo's Algorithm. You know, bow ties and sweaters, where analytics meet the eye test. Let's welcome in everybody's buddy, Mo's Algorithm. Well, welcome back, Mo's. We've been missing you. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, same old, same old. How are you doing, Jim?
Sorry about the scheduling. Obviously, opening day threw us in a little bit of a tizzy, so we're back at it this week and happy to get you back involved in the program. I've got a I don't know if this is a request.
A request, a homework assignment.
Yeah, this might be a homework assignment because I don't even know if it exists, okay? It's got to. It's got to. Everything exists, right?
He has it, I guarantee
it. Okay, we're going to find out. Okay. I have been on a Matt Carpenter tirade lately because I'm tired of this guy taking fastballs for strikes, whether they're on the corner or in the strike zone. Is there any way for you to prove me right or wrong?
Actually, you know, this, I don't know if you know Zach Gifford. He writes for Birds on the Black.
Yep.
He did an article. Check it out. He just did the article yesterday on this. And yes, Matt, he came to the conclusion Matt Carpenter is taking way too many strikes.
Really?
Yeah, I would go do it, but Zach just did it for Birds on the Black, so
okay.
That's kind of his thing right now
gonna,
that he's working on.
We're gonna throw him some. We're
give him some props.
Him some
we gotta get yeah, give
right
him
now.
Some love.
Okay, so let's see here.
Yeah, it was a really in-depth article about the about Carpenter's approach at the plate and how he can still be a successful hitter. He's just got to stop taking so many. He's being too patient. Is the conclusion he came to?
Okay.
Hey, and I had a random one that tied along with that, not so much Matt Carpenter. What is in the – I don't know if you have last year's stats. I know we can't go historically. I'm going to argue the point that I don't see these batters changing their approach given the situation or the count. What is now the batting average for a 2-0 or a 3-1 count compared to, you know, 1-2 or 0-2 or even 2-2?
I would have to do some homework on that, but it dips off significantly. You get an 0-2 count, and it's pretty grim compared to when you're ahead in the count. So I can find that for next week, but yeah, it definitely runs. It's a big discrepancy.
Perfect. So here's now naturally, I think there's going to be a discrepancy because there's historically been one. The homework I really want is compared to years past compared to recent years. So if there was a 75-point difference 15 years ago, is it now only 50-point difference? Okay? Just because these guys aren't changing their approach as much given – I mean, hell, that's the thing that they were trying to tell us, you know, back in college was, hey, you get 2-0, widen out, choke it up, move the ball, get the bad hop, put it in a gap, you know, whatever you need. I don't see these guys doing anything other than a Joey Votto style that'll change it up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of adjustments happening at all, no matter what the count is. I think a lot of guys have their swing, and that's just what they're going with, and I think that's why we're seeing strikeouts at an all-time high. Every year, strikeouts are higher and higher every single year, and I think it's because pitchers are finding spots where hitters are not making adjustments, and they're exposing them.
Okay, so let's do this. Benji, you played 13 years in the league. You were very proud of your approaches and the way you played the game. I'll ask – you can only speak for yourself and the people that you know and that you watched. Were there certain people that – let's start with you. When you got to two strikes, did you change your approach?
Always. I might have one strike when I change my approach. I might have no strikes when I change my approach. The pitcher will dictate my approach.
Okay. I can see that.
I got guys that I play with. I can name you a lot of them. You guys saw David Eckstein. Do you think he didn't change approach? Yes, he did. And then I play with second batter was Erstad. He choked up every single time. He had one strike with a hard thrower and two strikes with a slower guy. We got Gary Anderson, almost a 3,000 hitter guy. I don't know, maybe 2,800 or something like that, or 2,700, whatever it was. And he changed approach. We have Tim Salmon, in our club that two strikes he choked up because he got better control of the bat and he can put the ball in play. We had these guys, Troy Glaus, choking up in two strikes. We had guys that were studs hitting, and they were making a change. They were making an approach, changing approaches. And now these days, we don't even have half of what these guys were playing in the big leagues, and they're not willing to make an approach. Now, you guys explain me that one.
Right. I see Jose Martinez still doing the Texas two-step in the batter's box with two strikes.
And Yadi does it.
Yeah.
Jose Martinez, I seen it. I even saw Ozuna doing it. I even saw Ozuna getting two strikes, getting choked up a little on the bat, trying to put the ball on play. I haven't seen Pham. I haven't paid attention to Pham more. I will pay attention next time and see if he's doing it. I haven't seen Carp changing. I haven't seen Fowler. I saw Fowler a couple times changing the swing a little bit. You know, I seen him, but they're veterans, man. I'm talking about most of them, the young guys. The young guys, they don't want to. I don't know why. I don't know why. Ruben Sierra, I don't know if you guys remember that name.
Oh, yeah.
Ruben Sierra, one of the most powerful guys. He even told me, Bimo, one time you start at the plate of way back in the zone, way back in the batter's box, maybe by the third pitch, you might have to move a foot forward. You might have to move a foot back. You might have to choke up a little, flat up your bat, because these guys working you one way and you're not reaching him. And you might not get him if you don't make this adjustment. When I saw Jamie Moyer, I put my bat stick up all the way straight up to the air. And why? Because it gives me more time to get through the zone because he was lower. But when I faced Broxton throwing 100 miles an hour, I put it right on my shoulder, all flat, because it goes straight to the ball and it goes quicker. So it's making adjustment. He can't be afraid of that. And these kids, young guys, all of them, almost all of them, are afraid of making changes.
So let me ask you this question, and I'll start with Mose, and then I'm going to go back to Benji. Mose, what about analytically? Is there a way to analyze if guys change their – there's probably – I don't know. There can't be a number to tell you that guys change their swing with two strikes, is there? There's no way.
No, not really. Not that I can think of offhand. Nothing that would be concrete on how they change. I mean, the only thing you could get is the data of how many times they swing or take 0-2. You know,
yeah. or what their average is with two strikes, I guess. I mean, that would be
correct. As far as changing their hands or their bat or their feet, I wouldn't have a way of doing that.
God, you got a new project.
There's no numbers for that. Buddy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you'd have to talk to them. So as we're talking about these guys,
there's no numbers for heart. There's no numbers for a boss. There's no numbers for a baller instead of a robot. There's no numbers for that.
So let's go to the other end of the spectrum, the guys that there's no way they're changing their swing. My assumption is, Benji, you played with, I mean, arguably one of the best hitters we've ever seen in person, Barry Bonds. He wasn't changing his swing, nor should he have, I assume.
He changed once in a while, and those once in a while I would go to him and ask. Because like you said, why would he change? The ones that's changing, this is the answer I got. Why would I change?
I'm hitting 340 with 70 bombs.
That has to change. Yeah, Barry Bonds. He told me, he goes, why would I change if I have him by the, you know, the baseballs? If I have him by the baseball, it's my swing. Now, if he gets me under his baseball, then I might have to change, but I don't have to. Well, that tells you why he don't have to. He's the best hitter that ever lived, so he don't have to change. But for us, for me, that I'm below average hitter, I have to change once in a while. I have to change even three times during the at-bat. But for him, he was on top of the pitcher. Okay. Everybody, he looked to me like he was always ahead of the count or getting a walk. So why would he change, right? This is the wrong guy to ask. But I asked him anyway. He said, "Nope. If I have him on top, if I have him on my account, I ain't changing. I'm going after it."
This is
interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know what? You said something now that has me so intrigued, and I'm glad Mose is with us for this one, because then I'm going to ask him. So Benji you said this. Now, again, you may have just been given respect, and maybe you think at that level there's a lot of greats. But do you think Barry was the best hitter ever?
I think that I play with.
Well, no, or whatever. I mean, I mean, do you think he's the best? Okay, let's start with first. Is he the best hitter you ever played with?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he the best hitter ever?
He showed that he's the best hitter ever.
Okay.
It's not coming from me. I'm not saying that there's not good hitters out there. Don't get me wrong either. Because I love my Pete Rose. I love my guys. You know, I love the other guys that were great hitters. Don't get me wrong. But the best hitter that ever lived, he has to be arguably, right? I mean, you can argue that. I mean, some guys maybe don't think so. But a lot of guys, you have to put him in the top two.
Okay, so Mose.
And you got to find your other two.
No, that's great. So Mose, by the numbers, is Barry Bonds the greatest hitter ever?
I'd have to dig into it and compare him to some of the historical ones, you know, like Babe Ruth and Ted Williams and those guys. But for my money, yeah, he's probably the greatest hitter ever. I guess it goes by your – I got into an argument with some people last week about the Jose Altuve versus Mike Trout thing and what the definition of best hitter means.
I love it.
It drives me insane. My definition of the best hitter is who does the most damage with the bat in their hand.
Yes.
That's to me, that's the best hitter. There's, for some reason, there's this group of people that think that if a guy can slap singles around, that all of a sudden he's and can get to 200 hits, that qualifies him as the best hitter. So there will be a group that will say Ichiro is a better hitter than Barry Bonds because he had more hits than him. You know, I use the argument, okay, for those who think hits are, yeah, right? So and I used this argument last week when I was having it. So you're telling me because Derek Jeter got to 3,000 hits and Barry Bonds didn't, that Derek Jeter was a better hitter than Barry Bonds? Come on.
No way.
And that's the argument that's taking place with this Jose Altuve versus Mike Trout nonsense. Mike Trout is 10 times the hitter that Jose Altuve is. I don't care. Look at the numbers. Look at the damage he does with the bat in his hand. And it's not close. Yeah. And it's the same way with Barry Bonds. When Barry Bonds had the bat in his hand, he was the most dangerous man in baseball, even over Albert. I love Albert Pujols, and Albert Pujols was an amazing hitter, a pure hitter, could do everything with the bat. But nobody was afraid of Albert the way they were Barry Bonds.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, since I'm going to start with Benji. So, Benji, in the game today, well, no, that's probably not fair. In our era, like in our adulthood, who are your top five hitters? And I want to see. Yeah, well, last 20 years. Who's the top five hitters? Well, and then I want to know if Mose thinks the numbers would show that.
Well, I'll have to check it out because I might leave some people out because I don't remember it. Right? I mean, I have to go back and see who's available for me to vote. And then I'll have you.
But hang on. But let me ask you this. If you have to think about it, they weren't great. I can think of the top five off the top of my head, no problem. In the last 20 years, Barry Bonds, Albert Pujols, Manny Ramirez, Mike Trout.
You got no David Ortiz in there?
He's...
I mean, come on, man. There's
no
so
Jim
many.
Tomey?
Frank Thomas?
Joey Votto.
The guy everybody
is in what? Last 5 years? Is he a 5 year guy or what? 6-7 years in the league or something?
Yeah, he's not.
He's going on 10 now.
Yeah, but he's.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Manny Ramirez, Albert Pujols, Barry Bonds, Frank Thomas, Ichiro.
I mean, 25 years.
A-Rod
being some great in 25 years.
A-Rod.
I won't vote for A-Rod even if he was the last guy.
Oh, boy.
But pretty good hitter, though.
Yeah, good hitter.
Yeah,
I don't want to say anything, so let's move on.
I think you said enough.
He only did the juice for 20 years. He's fine.
Oh, man, he was born with that. No, anyways, let's go. It's 25 years. It's a lot of guys. I will have to go back 25 years and start counting. That was a lot of good hitters, man.
Well, here's the deal.
Griffey play.
Hey, I left out
Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera. I miss Griffey. That's my fault. I'm sitting here going, man, I'm missing the obvious, and that's when I said Frank Thomas. Griffey's the obvious. No doubt. To come up with
five is pretty hard.
The top five. Isn't that what's great?
That's what is great about baseball. And that's why change is so hard in baseball. And we talked about it yesterday with the shift, Jim, for two innings. It's so hard because, you know, you want to be able to compare eras of baseball. You want to be able to compare the Onis Wagners and the Ted Williams to the Griff Juniors and things like that.
Did they put the shift on Bonds?
Hey guys, let me tell you my opinion on shift, okay?
Love to hear it.
One of the opinions, right? The shift, I love it. Okay? I love it. I'm gonna tell you this right now why I love it. The reason I love it, you didn't see many shifts before, because a lot of guys before were willing to beat the shift. They were willing and they could have. They were good enough hitters to go and hit the other way. If you put the second baseman over the left field or the shortstop over the right field, I bet you anything, 90% of those hitters before, they could have beat that shift. That's why you didn't see the shift. Now, these days, all guys, when they get the shift, that's where they hit the ball. Why do you think we're talking about Carp, not Bunning or Bunning? Or why can't Carp get a fastball down and away? He has the whole left field open. Well, I'm saying Carp in general, right? Like anybody lefty, you have a shift on, and then you have the open shortstop third base, and they're pitching you away.
That's where this
you away, and you are not willing to sacrifice your at bat, your swing, to freaking hit a ground ball to the other side.
And that's where this whole thing started for me, Benji.
That's not my problem as a defense. That's not my problem. The hell with you. I want to put you where you hit it, buddy.
Hey,
if you don't, is not willing to change, that's your problem. But you didn't see those shifts before because they were willing to sacrifice and choke up. And Albert, watch Albert's at bat when they do the shift. He tries to hit the ball to second base. He tries it. That's why they got to think twice about doing the shift with him. But these guys these days, they're not changing. They don't want to change. They don't want to sacrifice that base hit or nothing. They don't want to try it. They want to steal lunch. They want to lunch and see if they can hit a double or guess what? That shift, you're hitting right to it, buddy. But that's why you see more shift these days, is because the guys right now, they're not willing to change. The other guys were.
Well, this all started for me a few days ago when Carpenter stood at home plate and bitched about a fastball in the outside corner. And I'm like going, wait a minute, just hit the damn thing to left field. I don't understand it.
Got a hit the other day on the check swing, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what I would do, and Mose, maybe you help me out here. If I have all that technology, there's my hot zone, which is a statistical category, right? Mose, everybody has a hot zone. We know exactly where the pitches are and where the actual hot zone is. Then I have my personal feel of a hot zone. Where is that? I like a fastball middle inner half, right? I like to get my barrel moving. So I have that.
Yep.
And then you got to figure out, how does this guy attack me? How does this team attack me? Where is their defensive setup? And then you have to make that adjustment. We watched Carpenter take a fastball middle third in and didn't jump on it on a 3-1 count. To me, that's my zone. To him, maybe he likes the ball away, but he obviously wants to pull that ball away. He doesn't want to go the other way. This is an advanced game, and you have to make those adjustments.
Right,
don't blame the shift. But Jim did come up with a great solution. He said that
If Carp hits or whoever, I'm keep mentioning Carp. I don't know why I do this, but if whoever lefties or righties if you see the shift and they keep hitting it into the shift, why the heck am I going to change? No. If I see any lefties hitting like Chris Davis, for example, in Baltimore, they do the shift hard on him. But if I see Chris Davis hit three line drives to left field or three ground balls to a shortstop for a base hit, and then the next game I see him doing it once, and then the next game I see him doing once, I bet you anything that shift goes to crap because they got to go back to the same way. But if they keep swinging at it for whatever, pull, what is it wrong with this freaking shift, dude? There's nothing wrong. It's the hitter that has to make an adjustment. That's it.
All good stuff, man.
Well, Mose, I know we don't have you very long for today. You want to give us your quick thoughts on the hitting woes for the Cardinals and anything you see or anything that would tell you that, you know, if you want to use the weather an example, if you want to use early season, anything that would lead us to believe that maybe heading into Great America Ballpark, we'll see the numbers go back up?
Well, Great American Ballpark is known for suppressing strikeouts. So it suppresses strikeouts, which means that they should strike out a little bit less than they have been lately. And yes, there is data to back up that certain ballparks inflate or suppress strikeouts, and Great American Ballpark is one of them that suppresses strikeouts. It's also open to a lot of power. And this team has a lot of power. They'll catch some fly balls. And I think the offense gets going in Cincinnati. The one thing I want to add to the conversation that you guys were just having is I am as anti-bunt ever is. And if these guys don't start bunting against that shift, I would fine every single one of them every time. It is asinine. It makes no sense to me. Matt Carpenter has a free base hit every time he's standing at the plate. He just bunts it to the third base bag.
And
I'm anti-bunt. I hate bunting because bunting usually is a free out, right? Well, if they're giving you a free hit, take the free hit. They shifted on Dexter Fowler the other night, and he didn't bunt. This makes no sense to me. If you're a major league player making that kind of money and you can't bunt to the area you want to bunt, then you ought to go to batting practice a little earlier and work on your bunts because this. I appreciate the shift. I appreciate the defense because it's the analytics at work, right? And every time Carpenter rips one into right field, right at that rover standing out there in right field, that's the analytics saying, yep, we were right again. But if you bunt down that third baseline every single time, they're going to stop it. And if they don't stop it, you just continue to get free base hits. And the whole object of the game is to get on base, whether that's a walk, a hit, an error, I don't care. But it is infuriating to me to watch these guys. And they're not the only ones. They shift on Joey Gallo. They shift on all these other guys. And not a single one of them are laying that butt down the third baseline. It blows my mind.
That's why they hit 190, buddy.
Right. It is hard to watch sometimes Matt Carpenter not just bunt it down the third baseline.
Well, that's
especially to lead off it. Now, if there's runners at first and second, nobody out. Okay, maybe not. You know, you want him driving in runs. That's why he's there. But especially when he leads off innings and they run that monster shift, what are you doing? Just bunt it, get on base, and get something going. And that's so against my philosophy. But when they're going to give you a free base hit, that goes out the window for me. And sorry about my rant, but
I got something for you. I'm with you 100%. But listen. Sometimes the first and second is the best bunt you can do. And he might be a hit too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you move the guys over to second and third with less than two outs. Now, if we don't do the job, that's not our problem. But you should be able to do the job, right? That's what we practice every spring. That's what we practice in the off season. That's what we practice during the season. If you go to a BP batting practice, you'll hear him. Man on third, no outs. Come on, let's go. I mean, they practice every single day, so whatever on that. But sometimes even the situation of the game dictates a bunt. Doesn't mean you're going to give away bunts because he's an out anyway. He's hitting 180. He's hitting 200. He's hitting 210. So what do you mean? I mean, I'm not saying you. I'm saying whoever, right? You know, an out there who's talking about it. What do you mean by not giving up an out like the Oakland A's, right? They don't like to bunt because they don't want to give away outs. And then their guy is hitting 210. He's an out anyway, buddy. What the heck? Why not take advantage of the of the guy that hits an out 90% of the time, hitting 210, 205, why not take advantage of that guy that's an out and put a bunt down, give away an out, to move two guys to a scoring position with less than two outs? I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. Now, like you said, if the guy it's Ozuna that's hitting 400, or whoever is hitting 300, or even Wong hitting 300, yeah, you might take a chance. You might not bunt. Let him hit. He's hot. I understand those parts. Yeah, don't give up an out. But a guy hitting 190, 210, 220, 230, 240, he's basically an out, buddy. So why not taking advantage of that out and move this freaking guy to a scoring position and let the next guy hit a fly ball, hit a ground ball, do something, and then we get a run. When we score one, they got to score two. When we score two, they got to score three to beat you. So, I mean, that could happen too, right?
It's a game of sport, okay? And it's no different. I you could relate this to boxing. If you get in a ring with somebody and all they do is they cover their head, where are you going to attack them?
The body, man.
The body. And then what does that do? That softens up the chance to get a nice punch to the face, right? It's the same thing. If they're going to protect the shift, bunt it. Soften it up. So when you do get that 3-1 fastball and they don't shift, he would have 3 to 4 extra base hits because he's hitting the shift that much already, and we're 12 games in. It's ridiculous.
Yep. Yep.
They've got to make the adjustments. And the willingness not to make the adjustments goes back to the first day we ever had Benji on the show. It's selfish. They're not willing to give up 50 at-bats for the better of the team. And that is, bunt it, get your hit. Your average looks great. I get your power numbers aren't there. And you want your big paycheck because I guess home runs brings a paycheck.
Breaking your bat to get the guy over. I saw third batters. I saw fourth batter. I even heard of Barry Bonds trying to get him. He called it jump on him. He wasn't jumping on it to hit a home run. And I asked him, I say, what are you doing? He goes, I'm trying to go out there because I know they're trying to pitch me away. I'm trying to hit the ball on the right side. And this is freaking Barry Bonds, dude. Barry Bonds is hitting the ball to the right side to get the guy over from second. Barry Bonds. This is not Benji Molina. This is Barry Bonds, dude. I play with guys like that. I play with Vernon Wells. I play with Troy Glaus. I play with so many good hitters that they all sacrifice at bats for their team. But when you don't do that, you're going to find yourself hitting 220, 210, 240. And, you know, hey, keep doing it. I don't know. These days you find a job for more than 10 days hitting 190 or 200. I know a guy I can mention right now. I ain't going to do it, but you can make a living doing that these days. I wish I was playing these days. It would be a lot easier to hit my 270, 275, 280, and I'll be a superstar.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, in the end, I've said it once. I'll say it again on the show. The hitting looks really easy from the stands. It looks really easy from your couch. You know, I get that, right? And especially if you're like a fan and you don't, I mean, the pros are so good, they do make it look easy sometimes. So I understand that. I get it.
Let's be fair, Jimbo. We have some good pitching too.
For sure. For sure. My whole thing is I had said something the other day, and again, it sounds like I'm on a Matt Carpenter bitch fest, and I am kind of. I've said on here 1,000 times that I want to love Colton Wong. Okay, I'm not singling him. But, you know, he had a 2-0 count the other night in a big situation and takes an awful, I mean, just a god-awful swing on 2-0. Now, again, it's not that he made an out. See, that's what I told people. I'm not complaining that Colton Wong made an out on a 2-0 pitch. That's not my point. My point is you don't have to be a former big leaguer like Benji Molina to watch a guy take a defensive swing on 2-0 and to know that when you're 8 years old, You are taught in a hitter's count, you get paid. You do not take a defensive. We watched Travis Shaw do it yesterday for the Brewers multiple times.
Yep.
I never know what these guys are thinking in hitter's counts, well, taking defensive swings.
And that's the thing. Get that front foot down. You're expecting this ball. If it's there and you're swinging, you're connecting. If it's not there, swing through the damn thing.
Yeah, I don't
live to fight
it.
Another day. Do not adjust on a 2-0-3-1 when you're looking. When you're guessing, whatever you're guessing, if that's how your approach is hitting, or that's what you're prepared for, and this is the only spot you're looking and the only ball you're looking for, and you get fooled, you cannot adjust the swing for contact. It's a sheer recipe for an out.
I don't know. I mean, hitting, there's a – Benji, you can speak to this, but all these guys have unbelievable talent. They all have unbelievable athleticism. They all can do these things. Hitting's – I mean – it's as much mental as anything. It really is. And some guys, I guess they just struggle with certain aspects of the game. And I guess you have to live with their downs like you do with their ups. I don't know. I mean, it's – I don't know. I find it – I just find some things odd. That's all.
It's a lot of mental, like you said, of course. I mean, obviously you're thinking – and. With the pitcher, sometimes you're guessing with them and you think you're going to get a pitch. But 100% with Steve-O here, because 3-0, 3-1, 2-1, 2-0 should be your pitch. And I'm talking about if you get full and you're waiting for a fastball and you get full on a slider, I'll take that. But if they throw you the fastball that you're looking for on 2-0 and you end up missing 80% of the time, I mean, that's not going to help you as a hitter, anybody, not only our guys, anybody. I wish we could put up the numbers on 2-0s and 3-1s. It should be 300 plus, because that's our count. That's what we're from the minor league. That's what they teach us. That's what Mike Socha preach in Anaheim. It's the catching. I want from 1-1 count, first of all, 0-0 count, I want to get to 0-1, okay? From 1-1 count, I want to get to 1-2. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It makes a difference from 2-1, I want to get to 2-2, because it makes the freaking difference from the batting average. And look it up. That's what he preached in Anaheim. I want to get these pitchers to know. I want to make a good pitch so I can get myself in a good count so I can get this guy out. That's just what he wants. And it makes sense the other way around for the hitter. I want to get the pitcher to a 2-0 count. I want to get the pitcher to a 1-0 count. I want to get the pitcher to a 3-0, 3-1 count. Why? Because my average should go higher. It's like 300 plus instead of the other way around. So, but if we end up missing that pitch that you're looking for, that's when you get in trouble. That's why you find yourself into a slump. You know, I mean, how many times I saw Carp, like you said, you know, Jimbo, I saw him taking the strikes, swinging at the high pitch. I mean, that doesn't add up. He goes against what you're going to be good. If he swings at the strikes and lay off of that pitch on the top, which, you know, it sounds easier from here, but it's just the truth in numbers. If you lay off of the top one and you swing at a strike, I bet you anything he wouldn't be having a slump. He would be hitting the ball good somewhere, you know. So, I mean, I'm completely with you, Steve-O. If you get your pitch, you should be able to hit it right there. And if you miss it, at least don't miss it that high percentage. You know, at least don't miss it too many times.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going. I mean, like I said, reaching for a pitch on 2-0, reaching, that's going up there with no plan.
Exactly.
And again, folks, I'm going to say this.
That's selling out. You know what a sellout is?
That's guessing. Like, I'm swinging no matter what.
Sailing out.
So here's the deal. And here's another thing. I'm going to say this again. Now we're all of a sudden, it didn't take very long. Now we're back on, this is all Mabry's fault. I assure you, as I sit here today, people, John Mabry is not telling guys, don't swing at strikes. John Mabry is not telling guys, swing defensively in hitters' counts. He's not doing that.
No, Matheny is.
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah, you're right. Hey, guys, here's how we're going to do this today. We're going to swing at bad pitches. And because that's our philosophy. I mean,
hey, Mo.
Did you ever have a coach tell you that, Benji? Did you ever, any of your great coaches ever tell you this is what we're going to do? We're going to swing at bad pitches, and we're going to that's what we're going to work on today. And I mean, do you ever have anybody do that?
Never.
That's strange.
And let me tell you this,
because it goes on here all the time.
I'm gonna throw you this right there. Maybe he's one of the smartest hitting coach I ever coached with, or I had a chance to talk to. I'm gonna leave it that way.
Well, I know you're a fan, and you know I mean, I think it goes without saying that you know you coached with him. You know the amount of work and effort he puts in. So, you know, again, people aren't gonna believe it, and they're not gonna believe you, and they're gonna say you're just doing it because you worked with him and you're friends with all. They're all gonna say that you know you're just defending another former big leaguer, and because let's face it, they all know more than you. They all know more.
I got really guys that are back hitting coaches, and I can name it if I wanted to, but Mabry is not one of them.
Well,
Bill Mueller is not one of them. He's the assistant hitting coach. Bill Mueller is a 300 career guy, I think. I'm sure he won a champion bat or something one year. I mean, he's a great hitter, and he's a great guy. He's a great communicator, a great motivator. He's very prepared for guys that don't know. I think we had a show about Mabry before.
Yeah, we did.
And for guys that don't know, they get there early, they leave late with these kids. They get those kids prepared, really prepared for the game. Now, they cannot hit for them.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see. I mean, we head to Great American Ballpark. It's a hitter's paradise. So let's hope the bats awaken.
And Yachty's off his one-game suspension, right?
We talked about it that night. That just made sense. I mean, he caught the extra inning game. The weather hasn't been the greatest. And then when I seen him take that foul ball in the shoulder, you could see that did not feel good. So he was going to get the day off either way.
It doesn't make sense for the one-game suspension. It makes sense for him to just not fight it.
Correct.
Right. Well, that's what we were saying. Is that,
and for the Diamondbacks manager, Lavallo?
Whatever. I can't even pronounce it.
He, for him to get one game and not have to have a player sit one game is ridiculous. I mean, you're going to get into the old flop rule with the NBA where you're the hack-a-shack. Go out there, let's get one of their best players suspended with your assistant batting coach. And we'll be all good. I mean, how great would that be? Bill Miller comes out and starts throwing vulgarities at Joey Votto tomorrow night, right? And gets Votto
from the bench.
Gets Votto to throw a punch, and now we don't have Bill Miller tossing batting practice underneath Great American Ballpark, and they're out Joey Votto. I think that's the game plan.
Yeah. We can try it if you want. I guess
you can put somebody from the bench and go out there and punch Joey and try to get into a fight with Joey. Then we have Joey Votto suspended.
Well, you know? I'll tell you. I tell you what, I've got to run, so I'm going to do the – I know you guys want to talk about the bench clearing brawls for a few minutes, so I'm going to make sure – I want to sort of remind everybody, twobirdsonabat.com. You can check out the website there. Do your shopping at Amazon, please. Again, subscribing to the podcast is absolutely free, and you'll find out all you can just simply by doing it at twobirdsonabat.com. Social media, at Birds on a Bat Show. Make sure you find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook as well, Two Birds on a Bat. That's our big ask, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends, invite all your friends as well. The Birds on the Bat, it's just Birds on the Bat Facebook group. If you'd like to join, go ahead and ask. We're happy to have you if you're a Cardinal fan. And then, of course, Instagram. Again, special thanks to Benji and Yachty for helping us by sharing some stuff and getting the word out. We appreciate it greatly. That is Two Birds on a Bat Show. Lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio. It's out.
It is out.
It's really cool.
Like it. Like the Facebook page right now.
It's awesome. Yo Radio. Make sure you check it out from lineupmedia.fm. Producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, thanks for all you do. Let's not forget our groups. Nate McHenry, Rally Squirrel Club. Again, if you guys wanted to hear what Benji had to say about the Yachty incident with the coach, Rally Squirrel Club, right now it's absolutely free. RallySquirrelClub.com. Be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. Get the Rally Squirrel Report. Be eligible for all the wonderful prizes. We've got some great stuff coming up there. Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, thank you. Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals fans unite, everything STL Sports. Mick Light, our good friend, and, of course, Josh Potter and all he's doing. Excited about that and our relationship with them as we grow. with Mick and everybody over at Art City Media. I said sports as they keep growing. Team of Rivals podcast. Love you guys. There's tremendous Facebook groups too. Fans of Yadier Molina, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, Baseball Heaven's a good one. And again, we're going to try to, and if I'm leaving you out, I'm not leaving you out on purpose. I'm just trying to highlight different ones. Cardinals Country's a good one. St. Louis Cardinals Crew. Again, there's so many good ones. I want to highlight each one after we get this thing kind of settled into the season. But we're going to do that. But my ask is that you check all of them out. They all do a great job. And again, they promote it. I'm going to leave you with Steve-O and Benji. They're going to talk a little bit about the bench clearing bras. As I got to go take care of my own bench clearing brawl with my son. So, joking, of course.
The inmates are taking over the asylum. This might be another 2-hour show.
Well, no, you probably don't have Benji that long. I'll let you and Benji hash that out. But you guys take us on home. Take us home. And again, hey, Mo's Algorithm, thank you very much. Don't forget you can find him at Mo's Algorithm, whether it be Facebook or Twitter. All right, you guys take it on home, and I'll see you guys on Monday.
Good luck, Jimbo. All right, the inmates. Got it. Mo's, you still on with us? I guess not. So, BMO, here's what I got. I want to talk about this bench-clearing brawl and what's going on with baseball. I don't think we've ever really kind of hit on that, but we had a couple of them last night. First and foremost, how many have you been in?
I've been in a few. I can count right now, but probably 4 or 5, I guess.
Four or five?
More. Maybe it could be 4, man.
Okay.
It could be more, but once I remember, 5, maybe 4 or 5, I think.
I got beat up in all 3 that I was in. And matter of fact, I spent after the Cardinals.
You got in the middle of it, buddy. You got to stay on the outside.
No, man. We are in the middle.
In the middle. Keep your mask.
Yeah. It was extenuating circumstances in all 3, but I was with my college teammate after the game yesterday, and we rehashed all 3 of them. Great, great, great experience getting in them. I highly suggest if you haven't been in a bench clearing brawl, get in the mix and have a little fun. But
oh, man. I'm going to tell you this, Steve-O. I'm not promoting the fights. Obviously, I don't like them. Somebody can get hurt really bad. We saw that in our fight with Cincinnati where LaRue never play again because of the freaking cuero, whatever. I'm not promoting fights, but this game is a men's game, and I want people to understand that that are listening to us, Steve-O. They need to understand that these guys are men. There's some certain rules of the games that you can't break, and I mean they take care of themselves out there. And plus, you play for the Cubs. I play for St. Louis. I don't care. I'm playing for St. Louis. I play for the Yankees. You play for Boston. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm trying to make sense to the people. We're not trying to promote any fights out there. We don't want them. And believe me, as a player, you don't want them. But if a guy throws at you, and he goes with the hand and calls you up like, come on, let's go. There's no way in the world that this man that just got hit by a pitch is not going to charge the mound. You know what I'm saying? This is a man's game, like a high competitive thing.
Right.
It's going on out there, you know? And if a guy took a slight like yesterday and spiked the second baseman of Boston, you knew that was like Pedro Martinez said, I would have done it sooner.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wait it that long. I would have done it sooner. But that tells you a Hall of Famer pitcher what his mentality is.
Right.
So, like, it's the game is 8-0, Steve-O, and you're going to bunt the ball for base hit. I mean, that's not cool. You know, things like that. So I'm trying to make the fans understand a little bit about these fights. We are not promoting, and not everybody out there, not one team likes the fights. Nobody wants the fight. It happens because we're men out there, and you're not going to disrespect me. I'm not going to disrespect you. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I get the whole – and we can run through 100 different scenarios, okay? And I believe – I really believe in the throwing at somebody. I got no problem with it to okay, guys, here's what's going to happen. My only part.
You stay away from the head.
You stay away from the head. You stay away from the knees. You hit somebody like they did in Colorado last night in the middle of the back, okay? I don't care what kind of. It needs to be hard. It needs to send a message So that guy goes back to the bench and says, whoa, hey, we're not doing this bunting bull crap. We're not going in spikes high. We're not, you know, whatever it might be. Okay? You get
well,
the message across.
The fans that Hemro, the left fielder or right fielder for the Padres, got hit in the hand, and that's one of your best players.
Right.
So the next guy has to get hit. It's just man games out there. You know, I'm going to take care of my
people. You protect your guys. And you're not going to allow the opposing pitcher wants to pitch inside to this guy who's coming out over the plate. Okay. Yeah. If you're going to do that, then pitch way inside and hit him. When you hit a hand or you hit a head or you hit below the thigh into the knee area, you can really hurt somebody. And we're not out there about hurting people. We're about getting messages across. But when you get hit in the middle of the back, then guess what? Take your base because it was a well-placed pitch to get the message across instead of starting a brawl. You can avoid a lot of the brawls. You don't have to brawl as long as you're able to police yourself. Now all of a sudden you got the brawl. Para, right? He got a cheap shot in on somebody. So now this is going to carry over 2 weeks from now when they play again. Everybody's going to be on high alert. Exactly.
The idiots, they keep this thing rolling. The smart ones, they don't let anything like that happen. That's just how it is. But for us to sit here and say, oh, we're getting a bad example for the kids, we're doing this, that's the wrong thing to do because everybody's watching the game and they're doing this and they're doing that. No. I'm sorry to disappoint you. If you have kids, don't let them watch it.
Right.
When you see a brawl, change it. Or you watch the news later or something like that. But don't feel like this is going to happen because this is a man's game. If you hit a home run and you pimped it out,
exactly.
You don't think that pitcher feels like crap. And you show me up. So next at bat.
The next batter.
Let's go even a step further. Go ask Bruce Sutter. Go ask Bob Gibson. Go ask Joaquin Andujar if they like when they get show up. Just go and watch those and ask them and see what they tell you.
And it's all sorts of things. It's not only pimping the home run. And I get it. It's a 1-1 ball game, and you're in the bottom of the ninth, or you're down by one, and you tie it up, and it's an emotional game. You pimp it. You're up 8-0. And you hit a home run off a reliever, and you pimp it up, your next guy gets hit. And you're lucky. If you're the guy that hit, you're lucky if the next guy gets hit, or they're waiting until you get up again and hitting you. If you're stealing sides out at second base.
What do you think, Steve-O?
I think the next guy gets hit.
The next guy gets hit, me too. Because that way they got to fight in the dugout.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. If a guy on second base is stealing signs, and you know it, the guy up at the plate gets hit. It's a plain and simple. It's an unwritten rule, but that's the way these guys police themselves, okay? You better come up with a better way to steal the sign.
This is a man's game. I want people to understand that because it's very, very true. It's a man's game. You do certain things in the game, you're going to pay for it. It's just how it is. You hit a guy that you didn't even mean to hit a guy. You hit Stanton and the ball slipped away from the pitcher. You know that the next time up, somebody's going to get hit. I mean, it doesn't matter who, but somebody's going to get hit. And it's not, like I said, this is baseball played by man. If you don't like it as a parent and you say, oh, that's a bad example, we don't promote it. We don't want to have a fight. We don't want to do that. But if you don't like it, hey, when the fight is going on, change it.
Right. And these guys all know baseball. They all know the unwritten rule. And sometimes, hey, guess what? You have a brain fart, whatever it might be. You forget. You know, there's things that get hit and there's things that don't get you hit. You know, you're in a 0-0 ball game and the shift is on. You bunt one. Okay, nobody's getting hit. If it's a no-no, if there's a no-hitter or a perfect game, and it's, you know, eighth inning, and you bunt, I think somebody's getting hit. And it might not be that game to preserve the shutout or whatever it is, but somebody's going to hit, and it's up, and you're up score. I mean, if you're in a close game, you do anything to win.
and things that happened like yesterday, Steve-O, the guy had a chance to slide hard without a spike. He decided that he was really used to spikes. I mean, I don't remember the last time that somebody got spiked at second base. I mean, not lately, I'm saying, because before everybody used to spike everybody. But I don't even remember with this rule, somebody spiking somebody. And then all of a sudden you see your guy from Boston getting spiked, nothing has done. What do you think their pitching is thinking over there in the bullpen? Oh, this guy has to get hit because he spiked this guy. He did this. Da da da. We got to defend our guy, right? That's what they're thinking.
Right.
And they, what happened? 100 miles an hour right in your elbow, buddy. Go get him.
And that's, you know? And
but,
that's,
but it's not because we're looking for it.
Exactly. And you've seen guys, you've seen the guy, you know, somebody, a ball slips away from a pitcher and it hits Stanton, right? And somebody goes out in the next inning, they get hit, whether it's ordered or not ordered or whatever it is. The cameras go to Stanton, and you'll see Stanton. Hey, that's not me. That's not me. You know, because he doesn't want to get hit if he didn't put it on.
You don't have to say it, but that's what they're thinking, right?
Right. Absolutely.
I didn't send that to go. It's because my own players, my own teammates took care of me. That's what happened. I don't have to go and say, hey, man, they hit me, hit one guy. No,
right.
No. Nothing like that is happening in the major league. The players took care of themselves. If you're in the bullpen and somebody gets hit, automatically they start talking with themselves and say, hey, whoever gets in, you know, these guys got to go down.
All right. So here's,
and it's just how it is. It's just how it happened.
Here's a question for you. You ever put a hit on somebody? And we're off. Nobody's listening right now. We're past. It's just me and you on the line here.
No. Nobody ever. I never told anybody you got to hit this guy. I was lucky enough to have ballers as pitchers, you know?
Right.
The pitchers that were really, really ballers, and they were old school, so they knew exactly what they were doing. I never heard Socha say anything about hitting anybody. I never heard Bochy saying, we got to hit this guy. You know, no, I never heard any of
you
that.
You didn't hear anybody say, hey, go do your job.
No, I never heard anything, Steve-O. I can assure you that it came from their heart, and nobody had to tell those guys anything. I never heard a guy go in and say, hey, you got to hit this guy now. I never heard that. But we hit people, and I knew what it was. You know what I'm saying?
I got it.
When we lost, we were up seven runs in Cleveland, and Gene Tomy ended up hitting the game-winning home run in the eighth inning against Percival. And here I come, and he pimped it out. They celebrated and everything. Here comes David Justice right after, and I call fastball away. No. Curveball, no. Fastball in. You know what's coming. See, I never had to tell him, hit him.
I'm surprised he even shook you off and he just didn't throw. Just didn't go right at him.
No, I don't. But because I wasn't thinking, I was really a young guy
right
at that time. I wasn't even thinking. But you see what I mean? I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to say anything. They did it on their own. They knew. And these guys these days, they know. They know when somebody pimped the home run that, come on. Let's go back to the Texas and Toronto game.
Right.
When Batista flipped that bat. You don't think he was going to get hit? Whoever's a baseball game fan, they knew they were going to get hit. Even today, tomorrow, 2 years from now.
It's the next year. Now, let me ask you this. Did he deserve to get hit?
I think he deserved to get hit for that one.
Okay, so you would – see, now, to me, I wouldn't have hit him because it was an emotion – it's the emotion of the ball game. To me, well, I look at it and I go, you get a free pass on that.
I don't get it to hit anybody if it's pimping. It's the way he did it, Steve-O. Like,
yeah.
If he would have pimped it, stood out there and threw the bat normal to the ground and stood up out there, okay. But he threw the bat all the way to the Texas Rangers dugout. You know, like way up in the air. So obviously, that's not going to go well with anybody. But if he would have just pimped it and throw the bat down a little bit forward without to your dugout, because we saw David Ortiz pimp the ball, the heck out of a ball, and threw the bat to their dugout down, you know, nothing happened. And they, he doesn't get hit. But
right.
In this case, he stood up on the plate and then flipped the bat up in the air all the way to the dugout. That's why he got hit.
Right.
And I would have hit him too.
And here's the
I
deal.
I would have hit him myself.
And I think, and I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think he deserved to get hit because of the what the game was in the moment. And that's probably where some people are confused, because the unwritten rules are just that. They're unwritten. There's no guidelines to it. So what one person feels is okay, another person might take exception to and hit you.
Exactly.
And that's where...
How do you think the pitcher felt? Do you think the pitcher felt, okay, I'll give him a pass?
He should feel like shit because he just gave up a 7,000-foot home run to lose the ball game.
And you feel worse than that because he's pimping it.
I said,
see what I'm saying?
To me, I wouldn't have hit him. Now, hey, I'm going to get on a therapy couch here. Does it make me a bad person that I got a standing hit out on one of the guys in my 40 and over men's league? I just can't stand him. And every time we play him, I tell the pitcher, we're drilling this guy. He's just an ass. He's the biggest ass. Hey. He's what's wrong with people altogether. And I got a standing order, hit him. And I got a great story along with that one, but for another day when we're together. When we're together eating guacamole.
95% of people probably were with you.
Yeah, and nobody likes the guy. So standing order every time. That's good stuff. But that's why I love the game. The unwritten rules. And a lot of people will take the other approach and say, well, guess what? This guy doesn't, this American League pitcher doesn't have to pay the price because he's never going to bat. Kelly will never have to face anybody.
Yeah. I hope that people that are listening and people that are concerned about all these fights and all these things, I hope they get it off their heads, because this is a men's game for real. It's like even in basketball, even in hockey. Why do you think hockey has a lot of fights? Because it's a contact sport and it's played by men, and they like respect. And if you push me with a stick or something, it's fights on. Or basketball, if you dunk on me and you stare at me, that guy's going to get up and try to fight you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's a main thing. And if you're a fan of baseball, don't let these freaking fights get you off because of the fights and my kids is watching. Get your kid off or put your TV off and watch it in the news later. But it's going to keep happening as long as you disrespect somebody in the game. And it's just baseball. Played by man, for real.
Right. You disrespect somebody in the game or you disrespect the game. And Jim and I went through this. We were fortunate enough to coach a youth baseball team that was really good. And there were times where we weren't advancing. We weren't taking the extra base. We were doing things against, traditional baseball because it would have been showing the other team up. And that's what a lot of it leads into, is the whole thing of, hey, you might be beating me, but have a little respect for me out here as an opponent.
Exactly. And the same way when we played the baseball, when we were young and we played baseball, me and you in the same era, we were taken out for not taking out the double play, for not taking out the second baseman on a double play. You could easily be taken out of your game.
Oh, without a doubt.
You didn't do your job. So that being said, these days they're trying to protect the hitter. They're trying to protect everybody from doing this, the second baseman, the catcher, because he got in a bad position and all of a sudden he got hurt. Now we change the rule. The second baseman got in a horrible position. He got slide on. And then we changed the rule. Now, come on, man. You can't even pitch inside because they got warnings. I don't know, man. I just think, but I just want the fans out there to understand very clearly the fights don't happen. Like the thing with Yadi, obviously you have to understand the guy pointed at his face, calling him an MF, MFU, MFU, whatever. It's a fight word. It doesn't matter who it is. I bet you if you go to the gas station and somebody comes up to you and say MF, MF, this MF, I bet you anything you're gonna charge forward for whatever reason, he's calling you that. But It's just a respect thing. It's a pride thing. You're not going to come to our town, to my field, a home play where Bob Gibson won World Series, where Bruce Sutter closed out games, where Ozzie Smith did the flips, where all these guys play, and Stan Musial hit home runs, and then you're going to call me an MF in front of everybody, and you expect me to go turn around and laugh about it? I don't think so.
Right. And you hope, from a fan's perspective, you hope that Lavallo, or however you say his name is, you hope that he was able to defuse the situation, A, with his postgame interview, and B, that maybe he was able to reach out to Yachty and defuse the situation. Now, if he didn't, there could be fireworks the next time these teams meet, and then hopefully it's over with.
Yeah, you know that guy can never say hi to Yachty. You know that
right.
Already. Let's not go be idiots here. He will never say hi to Yachty. That's okay. He tried. He tried in the media. He tried to say, I'm sorry. I wish I would have selected the words a little different. I wish I would have done a little different job. He said that. But the damage is done. Obviously, he called Yachty these. He called Yachty that. And, you know, and that's already done.
Well, let's hope that cooler heads prevail, or that it's as the baseball non-written rules work, and it's going to be get your pound of flesh and move on, and so we can play good baseball, because it's a beautiful game, and you hate to see things continue to build, because it seems like in today's society it's no longer a quid pro quo where it's you know, you hit one of mine, I hit one of yours, and it's over with. It seems like it's always the next thing, and you know, when they hit Bautista the next time, he had to go after Odor and slide in hard, and then a punch came, and hopefully we don't escalate it to that much, for sure.
We don't want that, of course, Steve-O. I mean, and believe me, fans out there, we're not looking for those fights. We're not looking. Yachty wasn't looking for an argument at that moment. He was just minding his own business. They don't like that stuff. They don't want to do that stuff. When he got home, he got asked by his own kids, Daddy, why did you get mad? I mean, he doesn't want to answer his kids that. He doesn't want to do it. But the problem is, somebody's disrespecting you and saying all these things about you in front of everybody and saying MF. I don't know if anybody, I don't know what percentage of people would have not done anything, you know. I think a high percentage would have done a lot what Yachty did, go after the guy.
Yeah, and I think, and I didn't hear the story 100% from Yachty or anything, but I believe he made the reference to him, to the umpire, just kind of in the heat of the moment, and Yachty questioned him, and then he went after him again, and that's what really escalated it.
Yeah, he said it twice, people that saw the video. And luckily we had the mics. They were really high on our ears, the mics down below. And you could hear clearly calling him MF and mother these and mother that twice. And I don't know, man. I don't think anybody out there that would have called. If I'm in Yachty's shoes, I would have done the same thing.
I think most players would have, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to tell the fans, we are not out there to fight. We are not out there to argue. You know, even when you have a fight with your wife at home, and then, or you had a bad deal at home with your mom, or something's happening, you're being cranky. Even the umpire start calling you bad pitches. We still don't want to do that stuff, man. We don't want to. As a player, I can tell you that we don't want to. But when those things are played by men and somebody gets offended, it's men that you're dealing with. It's not kids.
Exactly.
It's men out there. So, well, I just want the fans to understand that.
Well, good stuff, man. I'm excited. We got Monday's show, right? We'll have a full weekend full of baseball. We'll come back. We'll do Monday's show here from the patio studio. And then we get you back in town, and we'll head down Friday to do the live show from Patio's on Friday from 12 until 2. Great experience last time. I think we're going to do some a big raffle. I think you said you got a Yachty jersey signed and a Carlos Martinez jersey. We're going to try to turn something into a raffle and a foundation. They both have excellent foundations. I don't know if you got to see the telecast the other day. Tsunami Waves brought in one of the young children he's been helping with medical issues. You baseball players obviously have been blessed with some financial resources, and it's great to see guys like Yadi and Carlos turn those into deeds well done. So we're going to come up with a way to get these jerseys out in a raffle. We're going to start it off at Patio's next Friday from 12 to 2 when we broadcast live down there prior to the Friday night game. Benji will be there with us. Hopefully we can get somebody to stop by. Maybe we'll get Matt Carpenter to come by and explain why he's taking so many pitches. Maybe. Yeah, maybe that'll help Jim. We'll ask the tough questions.
He's under a lot of heat. He might not try to do this right now. He's under a lot of heat right now.
Yeah, I understand that one. But it's going to be a great time. Make sure that I'm giving you plenty of notice. You got 8 days' notice.
Hey,
get your schedule
time,
in order.
What time are we in patio?
12 to 2 at Patio's.
Dude, that's perfect lunchtime, man. And they got great food, too, in patio.
Oh, man, I tell you, you know how to get me. You had me at hello, but I'm going to go for the food, too. But it'll be great. We had an awesome time down there last time. If you haven't checked our Instagram and our Twitter and some Facebook, we had some winners of an M4 cap signed by Yadi, a couple of baseballs, a book signed by Benji, a bunch of tickets. Wow. A ton of tickets.
I'm going to give away one of my T-shirts, the Molina T-shirts. Remember, you've seen them before.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give away one of my hats probably. So hopefully we get a lot of people there, man.
Yeah, we need to fill it up. It was a great time.
Let's put it in a raffle or something.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. So be on the lookout for some stuff. Jim and the people, the powers to be here at Lineup Media Group, are working in conjunction with Patio's to get things set up. But a great venue. We love it down there, and looking forward to it here in 8 days. BMO, great job today, buddy.
You got it, man.
All right, so we got three games against Cincy coming up, and we'll see you guys on Monday, right?
You got it, buddy.
All right.
Go Birds.
Man. Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.